Welcome to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I'm very excited to have a special guest with us today, Lila Ressler. Lila is the CEO and managing partner of People Solutions Now, a comprehensive HR and organizational effectiveness consulting company. Lila has held leadership roles in human resources and organizational effectiveness in Fortune 100 and 500 companies for the past 20 years. She's worked with leaders and leadership teams on developing culture. And in doing so, she's come to appreciate the impact that culture has on business results. She realized her calling and passion for helping entrepreneurs design and create an intentional culture, one that could attract and develop the best and brightest talent. Lila is a firm believer that a company is only as successful as its people, and the people are only as successful as the company culture they work within. People Solutions Now helps teams discover their vision, mission, core values, and more importantly, integrate the core values into the fabric of their culture. And why I'm so excited to have you with us today, Lila, is because you were the catalyst for the journey that we went on as an organization that led us to where we are, and basically was the genesis of this podcast. So welcome, Lila.
Happy to be here and excited to be with this team again.
Well, it's great to have you back. So in your journey, starting People Solutions Now, again, mentioned you're focused on helping leaders via workshops, you know, create value, service principles, core values, operating norms. Obviously, the focus of this podcast is winning through culture. So, I mean, how do you define a healthy, growing, and purposeful culture, Lila?
I think... Maybe I'll start with defining how I often hear culture referred to, and then I'll share with you my definition.
Yeah.
I hear culture referred, like when I ask a leader or people within an organization, you know, tell me a little bit about your culture. I often hear things to the effect of, we have a great culture. We really enjoy hanging out together. We have a lot of fun together. We're one big, happy family. And, we go on picnics and we have these great events and our culture is great. It's awesome. And I think I think those are great things. And I think those are things organizations should certainly aspire to. But when I think about the true definition of a purposeful culture, an intentional culture, I think the word alignment comes to mind more so than the events and the enjoying of one another's company, right? My definition of culture is having a very clear purpose as a company, a very clear mission in terms of how you're going to accomplish that vision or that purpose, and core values aligned to supporting that mission. And I think that often, you know, we kind of stop at creating those statements and they live on the wall as wall decor. And I think you really see culture come to life in an organization when we assign behaviors to those core values and we have systems and processes within our organization to live those values, to demonstrate those behaviors. And I think when you have alignment between culture and strategy, then you've got a winning culture, right? Then you've got something that's really going to help you as an organization, achieve your mission. And I think in doing that, you'll enjoy one another's company and hanging out together. But I think that comes first.
Yeah, I you know, you say that culture and strategy. I have someone I heard speak a few years ago, actually probably more than 10 years ago, has become a friend and mentor. And she said, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's not to say that strategy is not important, because obviously it is. But without the alignment of a purposeful culture, you're not going to have the same impact. So as you are working with a new client, I mean, what's the first thing you ask? Kind of where do you start focusing your efforts?
As you introduced in the bio, we're a full service human resources and organizational effectiveness company. So often when people come to us, they're looking for solutions. And I've found that in order to help an organization arrive at the right solutions, it's important for me to understand and important for them to understand what it is they're trying to achieve as an organization. For example, one of the first questions that I would ask would be, you know, what is your vision? What are you trying to achieve? What is your mission? How do you plan on achieving that? what are the core values that define your define success within your organization? And are you living those values? Do you have, and when I say, are you living the values, what I'm really referring to is, do you have systems and processes in place that are supporting the behaviors that are necessary to align to that business strategy and drive success? And some of the systems and processes that are critical, I think, for creating an intentional culture would be your selection process, right? Do you have a clear understanding of the type of individual and the skills and competencies needed for them to be successful in this organization? And are you adhering to that, right? Are you only selecting people that fit into your culture? And when people don't fit into your culture, are you making the difficult decisions to let people go? That's what I mean by living those values, right? It's having that system and process in place to make that come to life and have it be more than just something that we say and have it also be something that we do. And I think people in organizations watch, you know, what we do, and they do that more so than listen to what we say.
Yep.
So I think that when creating culture, it's really critical to live those values and have those systems and processes in place to do that. So when people come to me, they're looking for a solution. Usually it's, you know, I have someone in my organization that, you know, is not working out, or I have someone in my, you know, someone I want to bring into my organization. They're dealing with some type of an issue that needs a solution. And for me to be able to coach them through that and help them, I have to have a good understanding of what it is they're trying to accomplish and what their culture is all about that they're trying to create or maintain.
Do you find, Lila, that people often have a good handle on what their culture is from an intentional perspective? I've talked about that in previous podcasts myself, that I was aware years ago of our culture. I wasn't really happy about it. And I, quite frankly, was not equipped as a leader at that point in my life to even have the facilities to change it. But it wasn't really a positive one. It wasn't the one I wanted.
Right.
What do you run into there? I'm curious.
Yeah, I find that it's not unusual at all not to have a good handle on even understanding what your culture is. Every organization has a culture. So you can be assured you have one.
Got one.
But, right, you've got one. It may not be aligned to your business strategy, right? And it may not be doing what you want it to do for your organization, but you absolutely have one. The what I find in our work with our clients is we've become really big fans of focus groups, of listening tours, of culture surveys, of gathering lots of data to help an organization objectively take a look at their culture. And I can say that in those experiences, people are often surprised. They're often surprised. They often, you know, sometimes they think their culture is worse than it actually is. And sometimes they think that it's way better than it actually is. So there's often some element of surprise when people get candid feedback from people. People tend to show up to meetings and smile and shake hands and say the right things. And then there's this undercurrent, you know, meetings after the meetings that take place. And that's where your real culture is. And sometimes in those meetings after the meetings, there are real leaders that are in those meetings, right? They're leading your culture in.
They might not be the positional leaders, but they're the influencers.
Exactly. They're the influencers. They're the informal leaders in the organization. And knowing, you know, who those people are and understanding what their agenda is very important to shaping culture. In our workshops, we work a lot on the front end around who the individuals will be that we invite to the workshop, where we're working to identify the vision, mission, and core values for an organization. And it's important to, you know, have multiple voices at the table, and it's important to have people that will tell you the truth and be honest. And it's also important to have those informal leaders in the room helping shape the culture and being a part of it. You may discover later those people don't have room in your organization, or you may discover that you have an easier time helping them embrace where you're trying to head because they've been a part of creating it.
Yeah, they've had a seat at the table. And I want to touch on our experience together, and I've got lots of things I want to talk to you about in a while, but I think that's a nice little segue. So, you know, it was about 4 years ago, I guess, this summer, actually right about this time, we got together with you to facilitate a conversation with our team really to define. We were bringing two relatively large organizations together, you know, different cultures, different backgrounds and experiences. And we were coming together to define those core values and really begin to hone the mission and the vision. And Amanda Kramer, my co-host here, and I discussed the experience at length on a couple of our previous episodes. But it was very much an impactful day for us, as I mentioned in the intro, the beginning of a journey. But I'm curious as to what the viewpoint from you as the facilitator that day was.
I have very good memories of that day, not only in the work that you accomplished with your team, but up until that point, I don't know if you know how many integrations and acquisitions I had been a part of, right?
I did not know how many.
A lot. Right? So I definitely had a good frame of reference, right, in terms of how those meetings typically go, or whether or not an organization even chooses to have those meetings at all, right, where you're bringing two organizations together. And something that stood out for me was just the value that you as a leader placed on culture. I had been a part of so many integrations where a meeting like that never took place, right? It would be a situation where, you know, it would be welcoming the new team in, and this is who we are. We think you'll like it here because we're great, right? And what I noticed about the way that you handled the culture work and the integration was, you didn't really look at that as an opportunity to bring on board a team and assimilate them immediately into your culture, even though you had spent a lot of time working on that and that was important to you. And I think you felt pretty good about the culture that you had and the team that you had. But you looked at it as, this is an opportunity to define a whole new company, a whole new culture, right? Bringing the best of both worlds together. And an integration can be very sensitive, right? It can be a very sensitive time. The team that's acquiring the new team can feel as though, you know, we need you to embrace us and adapt us. And then the team that's coming in feels like, you know, we don't understand what the rules of the game are in this organization, and we're trying to figure that out. So you propelled the culture forward so much faster by having that opportunity for the two teams to come together and create something new together. And what I remember that was really impactful in that meeting was your existing team being very welcoming and having a very common language in how they spoke with the new team and how they shared their perception of their company, you know, to this new team. I saw a lot of consistency there. And I saw the new team, you know, start to relax a bit in the room and like, okay, you know, we're building something together, and start to get, I saw it happening right before my eyes, or you just start to get excited about it. And I saw that some of the members of the new team, actually Amanda being one of them, really took a leadership role in that meeting as the conversation shifted to core values, and saw that the team was very open to, you know, having this new person come in and have that conversation and be a leader in that conversation. It was a great meeting. I also remember that you were very open to kind of listening and not talking as much. I think I might have prepped you a little before the meeting to say, you know, hang back a little bit and let's hear from the team. And I think in that there were some discoveries around, you know, where we would take the culture. I remember balance, you know, landing on the table.
Oh, yes.
Value, right? Yes. And I remember you kind of sitting there like, you know, listening and not, don't know what this means for us, but you let the team talk and listen. And I was excited to see that it stuck, right? And it now is a big part of who you are as an organization.
Yeah, no, it's it was a great day. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it definitely was a starting point for something entirely new, which I believed was probably the only way we were going to be able to successfully pull that off. And, you know, it was also exciting to be doing something new as opposed to trying to having been through a previous assimilation a couple of years prior where we had no roadmap, no help, just, you know, figure it out as you go. I really made a lot of mistakes on that one. So it was great having you in the room, facilitating the conversation and leading us down that path. And it definitely got us to a good spot. Yeah, balance was the one that I declaratively said, I am not your role model, but we can keep it as a core value. That was Amanda's core value that she definitely wanted us to have. And I now appreciate it. As I've said on previous episodes, I've done a better job as a result of I think I modeled that a little better than I used to. And then I was very adamant about keeping growth. So it was a good day. It was the beginning of something fun. I mean, we kind of touched on this, but I you know, what would you teach a leader or a team to go about being intentional in the formation of the culture? I mean, we've talked, you know, that story is somewhat illustrative of that. Mm-hmm. Anything you would add to the, you know, again, the intentionality of the formation of culture?
I think you're right. We did touch on it a bit. I think that often leaders look to kind of the obvious solutions to culture, right, in planning events. And I think that's why we see, you know, so many company picnics and ugly sweater contests. And, you know, we look at those as being solutions to create culture. And I think those are wonderful things in a good culture. Otherwise, I think people show up and they're kind of looking at their watch, waiting for it to be over or not really wanting to participate. So what I would teach leaders is to really think about what they want to accomplish longer term as an organization and align, you know, those core values to it and live those values. Never wavering, you know, really never wavering from them. I think some of the hardest things that I work with leaders on is helping them see those difficult decisions that they have to make and those challenging conversations that they have to have. And we provide, we've developed a coaching framework that helps leaders have those conversations in a very positive way. And I think giving leaders those tools and skill sets to give them the courage and the confidence to have the conversations that they need to have within the organization to live those core values. And, you know, just talking, having a thought partner to bounce that off of. Sometimes leaders will come to a conversation with us and they'll be headed down one path and they really just needed someone to bounce these ideas off and kind of hold a mirror up and say, you know, those core values are pretty darn important to you accomplishing your business strategy. Are you sure this is, you know, the direction you want to head in?
As far as compromising them, potentially.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's as I know, you know, as we went through that exercise, I remember saying to everyone, and I've said it more than once, you know, once you are declarative about these values, people will, again, not listen to what you say, but watch what you do. So be careful and mindful. You know, speaking of that, from a core value perspective, I mean, what are your suggestions, Lila, on how to kind of cascade messaging wise and educate those in the organization about, because again, they're words that really ultimately mean a behavior. So what are your suggestions on how to do that?
So we really, I think one of the big ahas for us in working on culture has been that, and a really the catalyst for why we started our business is we wanted to be able to go deeper into organizations to help with that cascade and that implementation. Because so often we would work with teams and they would get really excited about their vision, mission, and core values and put big murals on the wall and, you know, post it on social media. And then they really would struggle with the next step, right? Which is integrating that into the fabric of their culture, putting those systems and processes in place that are going to support that culture that you're trying to create. And so we've built an implementation plan. Most of our engagements are 1 year long, right? Post the meeting. So we have this meeting, we develop this vision, mission, values, strategic priorities, and then we build an implementation plan and we stay with that organization for a year to help them implement it. And often there's someone within the organization that can serve as a project manager or a liaison to us. But we think that the more we get into this and the more we're developing our own practice around this, the more involved we are getting in that back end implementation. It's hard when you're in the culture to and a product of the culture to always recognize the opportunities for communication and cascading messages. So building out that implementation plan for a company that we're working with right now, the first 30 days of that implementation plan is just devoted to getting the word out around the core values and the behaviors and not getting the word out in a way that's telling people what they are, but in a way that's helping people become a part of it, right? Bringing them along on the journey with the organization. So before we start, you know, saying we've arrived, we spend a lot of time talking about it and discussing it and educating.
So you talked about, you know, bringing those elements of culture to behaviors, to systems and processes, and you referenced, you know, selection, the hiring process. What are some of the other systems or processes that become a part of the formation of those behaviors, Lila?
Usually immediately after this work, we start to have leaders ask us about their organization structure, right? Do we have the right organization structure in place to support these strategies and this culture? Do we have the right communication processes so that we're not operating in silos, so that we're bringing people together? Do we have the right talent in the right roles? Have we set the right bar for talent? So, you know, that can go down the path of developing our existing people and putting a development plan in place. Performance management, do we have a way to clearly communicate with people the goals and objectives that they're responsible and accountable for? And what are the rewards and recognition tied to that? I think all of those systems and processes are things that we could talk with a leader about and they would kind of feel like, wow, that's a bunch of HR stuff. But once they get into identifying their vision, mission, and core strategies and get really passionate about it, then they come to us, right? And they say, you know what? I think my work structure is totally out of whack. And, you know, this person I have in this role, I think would be much better off in another organization or in another role within my organization. So they really start to look at that, I think, through a different light because there's so much clarity now, right? I think this process really sheds a lot of light and a lot of clarity on organizations. And then it becomes much easier to recognize with the lights, you know, bright and shining, kind of where the opportunities are around the systems and processes.
Yeah, it's the connectivity of all those things is important. Do you see any particular area, Lila, that, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs struggle with in the systems and processes? Is there a consistent area, or is it kind of depends on the company?
It does depend on the company, but some common themes for sure. I think in organizations that have a lot of fun together, right, and enjoy hanging out together, there can be a lot of blind spots around talent, around, you know, fit for certain roles. So I think working through, I think that's an area people struggle with. It's easy to recognize, wow, I need a performance management process. Give me one, right? And we'll plug it in there. I think what they struggle with is really making some of the decisions that they know are the right decisions, but because of the relationships, it's challenging and hard.
Yeah, I could see that. So the talent alignment, performance management area, because again, you've worked on building this culture and getting people excited about being a part of the organization and, you know, getting to know one another. And then you get to the hard stuff of, you know, do we have the right people in the right seats? And are we evaluating them properly and communicating with them on how they're performing? Okay, that makes sense. I could see that. I think the other side of the conversation that you really are alluding to there is in the formation of a culture, there are, in essence, how people feel and show up, and then how people perform and what gets accomplished. And I think there's a balance that needs to be held there, that you're attending to how people feel and show up, and, you know, they have a positive sense of belonging to an organization that reflects their values and the, you know, they buy into the mission and the vision, and there needs to be a performance to whatever that business is about accomplishing. And that's a balancing act.
I think it is a balancing act. And I think sometimes leaders, you know, once they make those decisions, they realize how the organization appreciates them and thanks them for it. Like, you'll have people say, wow, I was so unhappy in that compliance role. I'm loving, you know, this HR role, or we've just put people in different places. And then once people really buy into where the organization is headed, all of your decisions, if they're in alignment with where the organization is headed and where they want it to head, the decisions make sense.
Yeah.
Right. So that change management process, I have found, is not as challenging as we kind of position ourselves for it to be.
That's an interesting statement. I mean, what are some of the tips you would give a business when it comes to that change management process, business owner, leaders?
I think it comes to communication and not feeling as though you have to make all of the decisions at once and make just a lot of wholesale changes. I think there has to be a methodology and an approach to the implementation on the backside of this work. You have a business to run, you're balancing a lot of things. You also are getting your head around where you've landed as a company. And I think people rush in and they sometimes do things too fast and the organization is kind of left spinning, and you need to give people time to really absorb the message around where we're headed as an organization, really absorb the core values and the behaviors that are important to the organization. And it takes people 10 times really to hear a message. So you could spend, 6 months, a year just communicating before you start to make a lot of changes. And I think that serves a few purposes as people start to understand where you're headed and they start to align to that, right? And then again, as I said earlier, some of your decisions then start to make more sense. So I think we shortchange the time it takes for people to get their heads around things and get excited about them and feel like they're a part of it. And we're operators, right? And we want to get results and we want to check things off lists. And I think when you're dealing with something as complex as culture and human behavior, that it takes a lot more time than we think it does.
Well, to your point earlier, before you start into an intentional development of your culture, you do have a culture and it probably took a lot of time to get the one you have. So it's a good point. You gotta, if you're gonna get intentional about it, you gotta give it the time to shift.
Yeah. I find that time is always so important to every equation, and it's one we often overlook, right? Is if you start a new diet and exercise program, you get the less calories in, the more calories out equation, but we forget the time, right? We forget that it'll take that over the course of a year and that'll hit my goal, and we give up after a week. And I think developing culture is exactly like that. It's slow changes over time, and then you end up with something really special.
Requires patience, which not a lot of leaders may have, but it's a patiently persistent approach to making the change. It's the small, back to your diet analogy, it's the small decisions in the day that make the big outcome in the year. But it's very common to want to have the immediacy of results. So
exactly. We take time out of the equation and get disappointed. Yeah. And we think there's something wrong with our plan or our strategy. And it's not that at all. It's just that we need more time.
So that's good counsel. What advice would you give those that are either starting out on this journey or have been in the journey like us? And because it's culture is not a static state. What advice would you give? We'll start with those starting out on the journey.
For those starting out on the journey, I would say start, right? I think I often talk with leaders that tell me, as soon as things settle down, I'm going to start to work on culture. I'm going to invite you in and we're going to have your leadership alignment meeting and we're going to start to work on culture when things settle down. Things are crazy right now. Well, things are never going to settle down, right? You're running a business. If things settle down and you're running a business, that's not such a great thing, right? So
it's not a good sign.
Right. It's not a good sign. Things are always going to be going at 100 miles per hour. And you have to figure out how to work that in, because that's really that's the catalyst for you accomplishing your objectives. It's kind of like my son plays soccer. It's kind of like him telling me, I'm going to work on my skills after I hit a couple goals. You have to work on the skills before you can get the win. And so I say start. So for those just starting out, I would say start, right? It's just, you've got to start to work on this, because like we've talked about, you have a culture and it may be working for you or against you. So let's start to figure out what you do have, and let's start to figure out where you want to go and put a plan in place to get you there.
Yeah, things won't settle down. You already got a culture, so you might as well get in the middle of the stream and get going.
Let's chip away. We take a lot of pride in being taking a very practical approach to this. My business partner and I have always worked in very fast-paced, corporate environments, and worked with field organizations, which we absolutely love because of the pace. But we do think that, we want to meet a company where they are, and we have a whole bag of tricks, right? Because we've made this our lifetime study and journey, but we're not going to throw that whole bag of tricks. We're not going to throw that whole bag of tricks at an organization at one time, right? We're going to help you assess where you are today, help you figure out where you want to go, and then put a very practical plan in place to help you get there over time. I think people, maybe leaders starting out, kind of shy away from starting out because they view it as this really heavy lift. But there are small things that you can start to do today that will have big impact when implemented over time. I think to the second part of your question around, for people who are on this journey already, and what's kind of the next step for them. And I think that time, I really just cannot stress that enough. I think some of the leaders that I've worked with, honestly, have, done a great job of getting those statements up on the wall, but still have work to do in getting that integrated into their culture. And I think you have to kind of keep your foot on the gas pedal, right, to keep it moving forward, and just never give up on it. It's a constant evolution. It's a constant journey. I don't think there's any failure, right? I think it's about being better every day than you were yesterday, right?
I would agree, and I think that's it's a good place to wrap up for today. Is that it is a journey. That culture is not static. It's very much alive. It's going to evolve. And you have to be intentional every day. You can't just say, okay, we've done that work, we're going to move on to the next project and file it away as a project completed. It's a part of, using your analogy of fitness, it's a part of your everyday life that has to be intentional. Again, you can choose not to make it intentional, but you'll probably end up drifting back to a place you don't want to be. So, well, Lila, it's been great to have you with us today on Winning Through Culture. Thank you so much again, as the person that was the catalyst for the current journey we're on. And we're, again, constantly evolving our own culture. But I wanted to have you as a part of this podcast series, since you are a part of why we have this podcast. So thank you very much for your time today. How and what's the best way for people to get in touch with you and find you?
That's, the name of my company is People Solutions Now. And you can check out our website, peoplesolutionsnow.com. There's a link on the website to be able to contact us. And you can book a call and a consultation. And we'd love to hear what you have going on and what we can support you with. We're based in Florida, and I have a business partner based in New York. We travel to work with our clients. We also, over this past year, did a lot of work remotely and even facilitated culture meetings and leadership alignment meetings, all via Zoom. We would take two-day meetings and break them down into, over the course of a week in small increments, and I think did a lot of great work that way as well. But we're really excited that travel is opening back up and we can get back out and get into organizations.
Absolutely. Well, we've all gotten accustomed to Zoom, so
yes.
We've all adapted. But well, thank you again. And certainly you have my endorsement for the work you've done with us, and encourage any of our listeners today that are looking to be intentional about their culture to reach out to you and get in touch with you and your partner.
I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today, and be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast, and remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.